Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can always get a daily dose of great information about your favorite NBA and NFL teams, including the Pacers right here. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and on today's episode, we'll clear out a few leftover topics from the Pacers' win over Orlando on Monday night, and then look ahead to the big arrival of LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, defending NBA champions, to the Fieldhouse on Wednesday. Will they be at full strength? As we consider the schedule situation for both teams, which should favor the Pacers. Finally, we'll discuss the reserve big man options. Suddenly, the Pacers have options now with Kevin Serafin emerging as a very useful player off the bench. And also tidy up any injury updates heading into Wednesday's big game. So don't forget, you can hit me up with any comments or questions about the pod or the Pacers or anything at email at indycornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at indycornrows. So let's start here with some of the numbers from last night. Kind of got into a little bit in the pod last night, but there's some hustle numbers and areas that have been a big problem for the Pacers in their losses in particular that we've harped on. So thought it would be only fair to heap a little praise when the praise is due. For starters, turnovers were not an issue and in fact really favored the Pacers last night. They only had 9 turnovers total and only allowed 6 points off those turnovers. And that is compared to the Magic, who turned it over 16 times, and which the Pacers were able to turn into 20 points. So that's a pretty big 14-point deficit. It's pretty nice on turnovers, especially when that has been a big problem for the Pacers. Another issue, obviously, over the season has been fouls. And no Pacer had over 3 fouls. That's remarkable. And they only had 14 total, only allowed 13 free throws in the game. So that is in stark contrast to the 2 losses over the weekend when they gave up over 30 free throws in both games. So vast improvement there as well. Now the Pacers only shot 10 themselves, and watching the game, especially in the first half, there were a lot of missed shots, uncontested shots, and the defense gets credit when the score is 88-69, especially when you're only giving up 69. It doesn't matter how that happens, defense is going to get credit. But kind of digging into the numbers on the advanced box score on NBA.com, notice that the Magic shot 43 uncontested shots, only made 27% of those shots, just made 12. And the Pacers, a little better, but they had 47 uncontested shots and made 17 of those, so about 36%. So there were a lot of open shots that went bouncing, especially in that first half. It was an ugly scene, as it took a while for either team to even find the range from three-point land, but overall it was just a kind of an odd offensive night, and the Pacers were able to take care of the little things that made a difference and secure wins. So no complaints. And as we always know, no style points. It doesn't matter. W's and the L's all look the same in the standings. So now it's time to look ahead to a W that might not look the same. If you were able to go back over the year and find out that the Pacers beat the Cavs this week, the defending champs are 8-1, but they're coming in, and I'm recording this pending their game with the Toronto Raptors, which is a big factor. They're playing the Raptors in Cleveland on Tuesday night as we're taping, and that sets up another team coming into the Fieldhouse on a back-to-back, just like the Magic were. Now, the Cavs obviously have a little more firepower and to throw out the Pacers. But when you're looking at their schedule, they have had a tough schedule this week. Starting on Sunday, had to play Charlotte Hornets. And now tonight, they're playing Toronto Pacers Wednesday night. And then on Friday, another challenging Eastern Conference game against the Detroit Pistons. So that's 4 games in 6 days, or 3 games in 4 days, with a back-to-back. So the Pacers are catching them at the perfect point as far as a team that's trying to preserve their legs and maybe fill in the strain of a busy schedule against tough teams where they're going to have to work to win. Now, you got to wonder, are they going to play everybody? If you look at the teams they're playing, you know, they had Charlotte, Toronto, Detroit on Friday. Do they think maybe they can sneak in a rest day for, you know, Kevin Love or even LeBron James? He sat last year at the Fieldhouse for one game. So far, they've played all their games. They've only had one back-to-back. That was second and third game of the year. So this is their first back-to-back after that. Obviously, they are the heavy favorites in the East, and the early season has not changed that thinking at all. So, you know, at some point during the year, they're going to be trying to pace themselves and preserve some energy and find spots in the schedule where they can rest guys here and there. So, I've just, looking at this, it still, I believe, is a little early in the season to expect them to take a night off. But if they were going to do it around this time in the schedule, this has to be a spot where they're pinpointing. Of course, at the start of the season, they may have thought this was going to be their biggest game of the week against the Pacers, if not Toronto. But the way things are shaking out with the early schedule, the Pacers now look like the soft spot in the schedule this week. So we will have to keep an eye on who shows up ready to play on Wednesday for the Cavs. Now, as far as the Pacers, they have their own schedule issues coming up. You may be thinking, wow, the Pacers are getting lucky. You know, they have the Magic coming in after a tough game in Oklahoma City, and the Pacers are able to take advantage of them, and now their big game with the Cavs has Cleveland coming in during a busy week on a back-to-back. But if you want to feel like the Pacers are gaining that big of an edge, you know, talk to me on Monday night when they'll be playing their third game in 4 nights, as well as a back-to-back against Golden State after playing in Oklahoma City on Sunday. So comes around, goes around on the schedule in the NBA, and the Pacers are going to feel their own pain. And as we saw over the past weekend when they got swept on the back-to-back, they have to take advantage of any soft spots in their schedule while they can, as they're still trying to figure out this thing for the season ahead. So speaking of figuring out things, Kevin Serafin has added another variable to the equation as the Pacers are working at front court reserve lineup with Al Jefferson, who's a big man that can come in and score and does good things with the ball in his hand on offense, whether it's making moves, drawing fouls, or passing to open man, but really struggles to defend anybody who can move in the front court on the opposition. LaVoy Allen has been a steady big off the bench, playing a power forward role, able to defend, hold his own, doesn't give you a lot on offense. In fact, made a surprise 17-footer on the pick and pop, which is always there for him, but is not always makeable. But has held his own. You know, he's done a good job basically filling in for Thad Young and not letting there be much drop-off. Now, Thad Young hasn't had really big games either, so Lavoie has been able to come in and at least hold down that spot in the reserve rotation. But then you throw in Seraphin into the mix, and he brought some energy, some life, showed some offensive skill, hitting some shots, working in the post a little bit, and definitely getting after the rebounds and defending, doing a little bit of everything out there. So that was the bulk of his best work was done while Lavoie was out on the floor with him. So that is a reserve big man combo that could work against most teams. But then what are you going to do without Jefferson? The big man can put the ball in the hole, and he is making $10 million a year. So it seems like it could be a game-to-game, situation-by-situation decision for Nate McMillan to make. I would think that if Seraphin continues to play the way he is, he may be the constant in that mix, and maybe Lavoie and Al are playing around him as opposed to the other way around. Now, Seraphin's a little bit more of a big man. He's really big for power forward, so I'm trying to envision he and Al Jefferson on the floor at the same time. Maybe we'll see it, but that's a lot of beef in there, and I'd like to see, I guess, how that works at some point, but I don't know if his activity can help cover up for Al on defense or not, but it sure would create a lot better offense with that threat of Al and then Seraphin just being the active guy running around and making teams defend him and keeping balls alive and doing some of that dirty work for the reserve unit. So that will be the question going forward. And if they're going to do anything different or settle in on what their best option may be at this point in time, you would think we would find out against the Cavs, the defending champs in the house, and the Pacers want to give them their best game. After practice today, Nate McMillan didn't shy away from the Cavs being next up, saying it's a big game. There's a defending champs are coming in, and we have to be ready. And it is 1 of 82, of course, but Pacers are focusing on trying to throw their best effort at the Cavs. Now, in past years, under Vogel and with different players on the team, it seemed like they always were ready to roll against the better teams, whereas sometimes they struggled against the lesser teams. This team, so far, I wouldn't say that I'd expect that same type of result. They just have shown no indications of anything predictable at this point. So hopefully, you know they're going to compete. They're going to rise up. They're pros, and this is what they do. They're going to want to play their best. But whether that is playing their best together and in a way that is successful is yet to be seen. So it sounds like they felt good about themselves after that Magic game and how their defense is improving. Their offense has been slowing down, but it seems to be a bit of a give and take, and they're trying to find that right balance. So we'll see what they can throw at the Cavs on Wednesday. Finally, injury update from the Fieldhouse. Now, mentioned on the pod yesterday that I watched Rodney Stuckey a couple hours before the game against the Magic out going through shooting drills with Joe Young and George Niang, and then going through some pretty hardcore 2-on-2, 3-on-3 games with those guys and Rakeem Christmas and a couple of the basketball staff, and they were getting after it pretty good, and Stuckey was in the mix, playing D, battling, banging, and showing no ill effects from the hamstring. Later we found out that he did go through the shoot-around earlier in the morning and didn't have any issues. And today after practice, he told Mark Monteith that he went through the full practice today. He's listed as out, and he also reportedly told Mark that he wasn't expecting to play, but left open the lingering idea that maybe the time when he's back active and ready to go. So that's good news as well, as the Pacers can finally get that full roster healthy and ready to go. Of course, Paul George is still not 100% with the ankle. At least he wasn't on Monday. I think that's one of those things that'll probably feel better each day as it's treated essentially 24 hours a day these days. An ankle can get healed up pretty quickly once it starts going in the right direction. So he will certainly be on the court to take on LeBron, assuming LeBron doesn't take a rest day, as I mentioned earlier. But hopefully that won't be the case. So that's a quick off-day podcast update on things at the Field House. Thanks for listening. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the Pacers. So hit me up via email at IndyCornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at IndyCornrows. And make sure you check out the game on Wednesday when the Cavs face the Pacers and see how they stack up against the best in the East at the Field House. Don't forget you can find podcasts on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe to the pod on iTunes with all prior episodes available, as well on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio and Google Play. So check them out. Okay, that's a wrap for today. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.
Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls. Plus, one day only, tomorrow, take 50% off all Old Navy active at Old Navy and Old Navy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only. Active offer 10/20, excludes in-store clearance.